many of them charged up there. Bible to John chapter 1. This is one of the two messages I preached down at Oakdale. And Russ down there can only get 30 minutes. We got an early start this morning, so I have almost a full hour. No, I don't mind that, my Lord. But anyway, I thought a very good message. I love to preach from John. John's one of the most wonderful books about salvation. And I love preaching about salvation. It's the message that people hear on how to be saved. And there's nothing more important to a lost person than salvation, to be saved. In John chapter 1, verse 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same," speaking of the Word, "the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Listen, verse 4. "In him was life, and the life was light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." Let's go, Lord, pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this wonderful morning we have. We thank you, Father, for those that are here this morning. We pray for those that are not. We also thank you, Lord, for those that may listen to this message through video or audio. We do thank you, Father, for every opportunity we have to speak your word, especially when we talk about our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you, Father, this morning for the blessing that brought us here and the grace that brought us here. We thank you, Father, for the grace and mercy that brought our church together as a church. And we pray, Lord, you will continue to bless us as a church, our sister churches around the world, their pastors, also our missionaries around the world, and all the mission works going on around the world. Lord, we do pray that you will supply the needs of those. Thank you, Father, for looking after and caring for us and our salvation. Thank you for sending your Son to this world to give us life on that cross as a sin barrier for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation you bestowed upon us. And Lord, we do thank you for forgiving our sins through the precious blood of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you indeed that he rose from the grave and he sits on your right hand. And Lord, we look forward to the day when he comes in that cloud and shouts come up hither. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, that as the dead will rise, that we will also rise and meet our Lord in the air and forever be with him. Thank you, Lord, for everything we're allowed to do for you. We know that everything is by grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge you have bestowed upon us, Lord. We know that's also by grace and mercy. We pray, Lord, we open up scriptures this morning and study them, that you will show us the needful things there, where you know what we have need of. We know, Lord, that every message that goes out is yours. And we know, Lord, that it will go out and not return void because it's your scripture, your word. We know, Lord, that you have an accomplished will for everything that we do and everything you do. And, Lord, we pray for that accomplished will this morning. We pray, Lord, if any may hear this morning or any time that may not love the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, may look to Jesus and say, "I need to be saved." May the grace of God be upon us to save their souls. Just be with us, Lord. Keep us safe and able to the world. We'll praise your name for everything that's accomplished. For Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about life. I titled this from another set of scriptures we're going to get in our first point, Believer's Thou This. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about life. The greatest thing to humans is life, isn't it? We were born with a soul, spirit, and a body. We were born with the greatest thing to humans, which is life. We treasure life on this earth. We need to extend, we want to extend our lives as much as we can. So we diet, we take vitamins, we take different kind of medication. We do what we can to extend our life because it's so precious to us, isn't it? We often pray, not for our own lives and our own health and our own well-being, for others, because we treasure life so much. We only pray for the end of life if someone's on the verge of dying and in much pain and much suffering, then we will pray that the Lord will take them home. We often pray for the Lord to come, but that's a whole different subject. Life is so wonderful to us, we do almost anything to extend it, don't we? Most people do not think about death because it's not a part of our thought process. People do not think, or I'm sorry, do not like to think about death because we know so little about it, even as Christians. Even as well as learned Christians, we know so little about death. Therefore, we focus on life and look beyond death. If Christians knew as much about death as they know about life, we would focus more on death and what happens after death. This we do know. Life is temporal. The other life is eternal. One life will end, the other will never end. When our life on this earth ends, what's next? Where is your eternity going to be? You will go to Genesis 2. You might want to put a finger in Romans 8. In creation, God formed a human body out of the dirt of the ground. Then he breathed breath of life into that body, and it became a living soul. We prove this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. This life that people are blessed with is a gift from God. However, due to the disobedience of Adam, all people become born sinners, separated from God and enemies of God. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind, that's the fleshly mind, is an enmity against God. That's every flesh mind. Every lost person, whether they realize or not, is an enmity with God. Where it's not subject to the laws of God, neither they can be. How can it be? They're dead. Nothing matters to dead people, does it? Nothing of God matters to dead people. Excuse me, I don't need to get to me. Because the lost sinner is born spiritual dead, because of sin, people in the flesh hate God. They'll never obey God's law. Therefore, people are born hostile to God and God's law. Sin has delivered death to every living soul, and their destiny after death is eternity in lake of fire. This does not have to be the result. There is life after death, and that life is the only possible through the power of God, who is the life giver of life. This life we want to focus on today is called eternal life, and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord said in our text, back in our text in John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shineth out darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But in verse 4, that what he's talking about light, it's a life, isn't it? Verse 4 he says, in him was life. In Christ is life. Life isn't possible in anything else. Only God gives life. Just as God took the dust from the ground and formed a human body and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he also takes our dead spirit and breathes into them the breath of life through the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of God, by the way of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ. There's no other way for this life to exist. God is the giver of life. Now, if you will, turn to John chapter 11. This is where I took our text, our title from. So life is in Jesus. It says in our text, I read it a while ago, John 1, 4, in him was life. In him is life. So just as God breathed into us the breath of life, life comes through Jesus. Look at John chapter 11. Verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked these questions. Believeth thou this? And the question is, do you believe this? Do you believe what God says about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and life in him? Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that our spirits are dead and must be quickened. That means they must be made alive. Amen. Death cannot be resurrected by people. It cannot be resurrected by humans. Only the power of God can give life. Only the power of God can make someone live. Whether it's breathing into our nostrils the breath of life or breathing into our spirit the breath of life. Either way, it must come from God and not from man. And then Jesus asked, believest thou this? That's an important question. That is an important question. It must be pondered in the heart of lost people. This was a promise from Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus doesn't tell fibs. Jesus tells facts. But Jesus also gives us promises, doesn't he? He says, I am the resurrection of life. There's no resurrection and there's no life in any other. Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again. That means he must be born from above. He must be born of God. This is not accomplished through ourselves. And no form, no matter of form. We do nothing. People want to talk about humanism and salvation that doesn't belong. Just as Adam had nothing to do with his life existing, we do nothing about our life spiritually existing. Well, people can preach whatever they want, tell whatever they want, but these are the scriptures. And God asked, believest thou thus? So Jesus promised that I am the resurrection life. Jesus told a very loving friend that he is the resurrection life. In fact, this is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. And God is what? Cannot lie, Titus 1. He cannot lie. Now, if you will, turn over to John 3. So Jesus promised, in his second promise, he said, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is the same Jesus, the same Son of God, who cannot lie, promised that in him we will live and never die. Now go to John chapter 3, verse 35 and verse 35 and 36. He said, the Father loveth the Son, listen, and giveth all things into his hand. Now look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but a most powerful statement is about to be told, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of our sins is Jesus. He took them. He put them on himself, and he died for them. That's our wrath. That wrath he suffered was ours. It belonged to us. He was our sin barrier. And it is God who put all things into the Son's hands. And then he goes behind that and says, he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. You don't maybe have it, possibly have it, somehow get it if you work or if you're baptized or anything else. Salvation is in Jesus and not us. Anyone who's trying to get to heaven another way is going to fail. And that's a failure they don't want to make. Excuse me. But they have no choice, do they? Amen. No one's ever going to believe the truth, God's truth. This is God's truth. It says over in 1 John, I think I have that scripture here, but that's God's truth. Let's move on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. In fact, we're going there now. 1 John chapter 5. Jesus gave us a third promise in this John chapter 11. He said, whosoever believeth, liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's a promise, isn't it? That if we believe in him, we shall never die. Mm-hmm. Now, in John chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, it says, listen to this. This is the most important scripture. Do not miss what God says here. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, listen. He that believeth not God hath made him God a liar. In other words, if you do not believe this witness about Jesus, you're making God into a liar, which lost people do, don't they? Why are they making God a liar? He answered that. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What was the record that God gave of his Son? Well, he goes on and says in verse 11, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Not in us. Not in our own works. Not in our bad, not in anything we do. Salvation, life, is only possible in the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But let's go on with verse 12. And he that hath the Son hath life. It's not that you might have it, not that you possibly have it, not that you could have it if you live good enough or do good enough or do this or do that. It says, he that believeth the Son hath life. That's the record of God. That's not my record. That's not Baptist's record. That's God's record. And because it's God's record, it's Baptist's record. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's the record of God, folks. It's not our record. If you have Jesus in your heart, if you believed on him for your salvation, if his blood has cleansed you from your sin, if you are redeemed by him, if his death, burial, resurrection means something to you, then you have eternal life. Because life is in God. And God put it all in Jesus' hands, and Jesus gives us life. Not earned any other way. I gotta take this jacket off. It's not any other way. So go back to the question we had in our second part of our text, which is John 11, 25 and 26, where the Lord asked, believeth thou this? The question I must ask, do you believe it? Do you believe, not my record, but do you believe God's record? Go to John 14. Do you believe God? This is a problem. People don't believe God. They want to criticize us as Baptists. They want to mock us as though we don't know what we're talking about. We are preaching the Word of God. In context, this is the record of God. Let's look at what Jesus promised here in John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He doth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me the very word's sake. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and the greater works than these shall he do. Listen, because I go unto my Father. If you do not believe the works and words of God, then you do not believe the Father's words. You call the Father a liar. There's no way around it, folks. There's nothing else to say about it. It's case closed. Amen. People go into the scriptures and they find Satan's lies and they preach them. You got to listen to God. You got to listen to Jesus. And you got to obey the Holy Spirit. I get sick and tired of people that, well, I grew up this, I grew up, I don't care what you grew up as. You grew up a lost person if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If God has not saved you through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have not been saved. You will never have eternal life. It does not exist for those that call God a liar. We live in horrible times. And for a long time, I'm just not putting up with any more trash. It's time that we as Christians, we as churches, and we as God's proclaimers of his gospel tell the truth. Amen. And quit worrying about what people think about it. Our second point. Go back to John chapter 11, if you will. Our second point is our life is in Jesus, and it is not temporal, but eternal. Listen to the Lord. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, what you say? Shall never die. Now, the living in me is not living by works and making that part of your salvation. Don't mix the two. I know what people try to do. We live in Christ. Amen. We don't live in ourselves. We live in Christ. And we shall never die. Now, we worry about life, don't we? I mean, I'm not in any hurry to pull my pen, but when God pulls it, I'm good. If Jesus comes today, I'm good with it. I mean, I'm not going to run out there and jump out in the middle of the road and let a bus hit me or anything, or pull a gun to my head and shoot myself or anything. I'm not in that big of a hurry. And I could take a little better care of myself. But I'm ready to be with the Lord. Because I know I have eternal life ahead of me. While I may not be quickly to die in this life, I don't have to worry about the next life, do I? Mm-hmm. I don't need vitamins. I don't need any exercise. I don't need any doctors. I don't need any hospitals. I don't need no insurance. I don't need anything. Because I will never be sick. I will never cry. I will never worry. I will never concern myself ever again with Satan, his tricks, or his people. Because I will have eternal life. Jesus promised it right there, didn't he? God promised it over in 1 John 5, didn't he? Yeah. Eternal life. That's what we have. The world wants to mock us. You Baptists believe in once saved, always saved. No, we believe in eternal life. The Lord said we shall never die. Go to John 3, if you will. Then we're going back to 1 John. Then we're going back to John. The Lord promised we shall never die. Jesus promised that whosoever believes in him shall never die. Look at John 3, 15. It says that whosoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. That's it. And then he asks, believest thou this? Did he include baptism? No. Did he include any kind of works? No. Did he include being a member of any particular church? No. Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me should never perish but have eternal life. In 1 John chapter 2, look at this scripture in verse 25. And this is the promise that he had promised us, eternal life. I don't like the word even in there. I got this on here, and I got it all in italics, but I bet you even is in italics. If not, it should be. Because we have eternal life because he promised eternal life. Look at John chapter 17, verse 12. And verse 12 of John 17, I love this chapter. Y'all love John 17? I love, you know why? This is what we have as the Lord's Prayer. It's not the only prayer Jesus ever made to his Father. But it's a recorded prayer, not a model prayer in Matthew, but a genuine prayer. And this is what Jesus prayed when he prayed to his Father. In verse 12, he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus said, all that you give me, he said, all that you give me out of the world, I've kept them. They didn't keep themselves, did they? They didn't give themselves, did they? No, the Father, much as people hate election, the Father gave a remnant to Jesus. Amen. Oh, well, Father gave everybody. No, that's not what he said, is it? He said, while I was with them in the world, I have kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. So if everybody in the world was given to Jesus by the Father, you know what happens? Nobody's lost. Nobody dies lost. Everybody's saved. Because Jesus said, those that thou givest me, I kept them, and none of them is lost. Not a one of them. that whole fold, that whole remnant that God the Father gave to God the Son before the foundation of the world and the eternal covenant, they belong to Jesus. People can deny it if they want to. I don't care what they do. Just because they can't accept the truth of God doesn't make it my fault. I'm preaching what God says. I'm not sugarcoating anything. I'm not blind to anything. I'm not ignoring anything. Believest thou this? He says, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the Son of Perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. We started early. I told you we'd get out a little bit early. God's a last invitation song. I won't sing it all. He says, therefore, I will close with this question. Believest thou this? If you don't believe what this message has preached this morning, what the Scriptures has told us this morning, you're not believing God. Because that, what I read, is the record of God. And Jesus asked, do you believe this? We must ask, do you believe this? Do you believe God? Do you believe the record of God? Or do you believe the record of man? What's the record of man? The record of man is when they go in and they find a scripture here, a scripture there, and they make a whole doctrine. Like works for salvation. God says salvation by grace through faith, not of yourselves. You have nothing to do with it. It's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. And what's he saying in Ephesians 2:8-9? He says, not of works. Again, that it's a record of God, isn't it? So I have to ask, do you believe the record of God or the record of man? The question was not about the resurrection of Lazarus in our text in John 11. The question is, do you believe that Jesus Christ can redeem you from your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ can give you eternal life? Do you believe that his blood can cleanse you from all of your sins? That's the record of God. Do you believe this? My last scriptures in John chapter 3, if you will. You either believe God or you believe man. And if you believe man, you believe Satan, don't you? You know why man is wrong? Because man believes in humanistic views that contradict the scriptures. Look at John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Not because he didn't work enough, not because he wasn't a member of the right church, not because he wasn't baptized, not because he didn't run laps around the building, not because of anything else. People are condemned because they don't believe the record of God, which is Jesus Christ, is the only salvation we have. Life is in Him. He's the giver of life. And without Him, outside of Him, you have no life. You know what you are? If you don't believe that, you're like the Jews. Even though you have a great zeal for God, it's not according to knowledge. He said in verse 19, and this is the confirmation that light has come into the world. Listen, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, go back to John 1, and I'll finish with this. If you go back to John 1, what did the Lord tell us? In verse 4, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, light comes through Jesus. When you're saved in Jesus, you all of a sudden get a living spirit. You can now see because Jesus has turned on the light for you. So for the first time in your life, you start seeing the scriptures. You start seeing the truth of the Word of God if you're in a church that teaches them. You see the light of eternal life, don't you? Your light is different. You're no longer in darkness. Let's go to verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The darkness will never overshadow the light ever again. Why? Because the light is eternal and it cannot be put out. If you will, grab your songbook, and I know we normally say,